Thank you for the worship in music. And we pray the Lord blessing upon you as you move back to the mainland. Remember your brothers and sisters here at Phuna Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you. My dear brothers and sisters, fellow believers in Jesus Christ, good morning and happy Sabbath. And those of you who are visitors and guests, special welcome. You come to the right place on this Holy Sabbath day. Special welcome to my son-in-law, Dr. Chris, and my daughter, Dr. Joyce, and my two granddaughters, Alexis and Haley. Special welcome to the Phuna Seventh-day Adventist Church. And also, I would like to welcome Eric back. I haven't seen him for some weeks. Eric, welcome back. All right? Before we go into our study, which is entitled, Whose Disciples Am I? Let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, it is a great joy because you give us a nice day to worship you on this Holy Sabbath day. May our heart be full of joy, worshiping you and studying of your word. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will be with us and imbued us with all the wisdom of this from above, Father, that we know you, and then we know you better, Father, day by day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The scripture reading I will read again with you is found in Matthew 28:19-20. Okay? Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You know, any sentence with the word therefore, there must be something before that, right? Right. And if you read the beginning of chapter 28, you can see the account of Jesus' resurrection. Okay? It says here, I quickly read it. Now, after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, began to dawn. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Who are these Mary Magdalene and Mary? They are two what? Women. Very important. Okay? Very important. We will talk about it later. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. It's empty, right? And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Two women, God chose them to be a witness. First persons who witness the risen Christ. Incredible, right? God didn't choose men. Too bad, man. Women. Okay? Why? In those days, in the Jewish community, women has very little right. especially in court. I don't know whether there are lawyers here. In court, women cannot testify or be witness. Here, God chose two women to be witness of his resurrection. What other obligation or duties did God give these two women? We read, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into God, into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Here, women again. They are the first ones who was given the message to tell the disciples. What an honor, women. Remember, you are very important in the sight of God. Okay? Amen. Furthermore, we jump to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. This is the situation right now also. There are people who believe in him, okay? But there are some people who doubt. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then our scripture reading says, "Go therefore." It refers to the text before that God said, that Jesus said that he has authority, and that authority he will give to his disciples. Power, and we'll see later what kind of power he gave to this disciple. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And do, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. If you are a disciple, or if you have to teach people to be a disciple, what kind of background do you need? If I like to become a teacher, I'm a retired teacher in chemistry. I, as a teacher, need to be what? To be well-versed in what? In chemistry. So if you want to teach a person to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to what? To have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, what kind of teacher are you? Terrible, right? Because some of you, my students, in my experience, you know, sometimes they ask questions. I probably hurt my head. Students sometimes are not dumb. You know, they are smart also. So you have to be ready as a teacher. Okay? So those people who wants to teach people to become a disciple must also first become what? A disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is a person, definition of disciple here, one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another. It is not the same like a student or a learner of today, okay? The relationship between a student, a disciple, and the teacher is quite different before, okay? You heard the name of guru, huh? guru, that's a teacher. If you say, I am a disciple of so-and-so, that means that so-and-so is my teacher, guru. And he or she, as a disciple, will follow all the instruction, all the thinking of that teacher. Okay, the same thing with us. Okay, they or a person who is considered themselves as a disciple must believe, must follow the instruction of the teacher or the guru. You know, in this case, Jesus Christ. So we have to know Jesus very well. Okay, if not, then you are not a true disciple. Okay, like in the Sabbath school, you know, then you don't have that true repentance, Wayne. We have false repentance because there are false Jesus in this world. People who consider themselves Jesus, you know. Remember Matthew 7, verse 21, 23. Okay, let's read that. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And this is the sentence which I don't like to hear, or you don't really like to hear either. Jesus said, and then I will declare to them, I will never know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. How come a God of love can tell some words like that? Let's read Luke 6, verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. But why do you tell me, Lord, Lord, and not do the things when I say, which I say? I repeat, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? So a disciple who do not follow what the guru said, what the teacher said, is not a disciple. It's simple as that. My brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, okay? If you don't follow what Jesus said, you are not a true disciple. You are a false disciple. It's not my word, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible tells it. So a true disciple must what? Must know Jesus well. Okay? Okay. Let us look Matthew 10. Verse 1 to 4. This is the story of the 12 disciples. Matthew 10, verse 1 to 4. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of 12 apostles are these. First Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite. Remember, not all the apostles or disciples of Jesus were Jews, you know, and one's Canaanite. God is no respecter of persons. You know, everybody can become a disciple, okay? And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. A lot of people ask the question, was Judas called and chosen? Yes, You know, he was called and was chosen also. All right? But as we studied many times, you have a free will. You have to make decision yourself. Because your relationship with God, with Jesus, is a personal one. Nobody is going to save you. And these 12 disciples, they were chosen by God, by Jesus, and became apostles. What is the definition of an apostle? One sent on a mission as one of the authoritative New Testament groups sent out to preach the gospel and made up especially of Christ, 12 disciples. So the 12 disciples, they are followers of Jesus Christ and have a commission, okay, to share the gospel and teach the people and baptize them. What is commission? Those people, those of you who are in the army, you know the word commission, right? I used to teach military college, 2 years. They are trained, and after 2 years, they are commissioned as second lieutenant in the U.S. Army. So they have to what? To have to do all the duties, obligation as an officer of the U.S. Army. That's commission, okay? In the army, you don't ask questions. You just follow orders, right? So also in God's army, to be a disciple, you may ask questions, but you have to follow him, you know. You have to follow. Otherwise, you are not a true disciple. Now, let's look very briefly, okay, about some of the characteristics, some of the lives of these disciples. How are they? Are they special people? Are they holy people? Uh-huh. Are they without sin? Uh-huh. Are they different from me or from you? Let's look. Simon Peter. There are three disciples which are called the inner circle. So-called because they were accorded special privileges. You can read it in Matthew 17, verse 1. Matthew 26, 37. Mark 5:37, Simon, James, the elder, and John, the beloved disciples. These are the three disciples, apostles, who are very close, have a special privilege by Jesus. You can read it in all those three texts. Peter has a nickname, or what do you call it? Appellation, surname, Cephas. What is Cephas in Greek? A rock, okay, a little rock. It's not Petra, okay? Petra is a big rock, okay? But he is the son of Jonah. Where is his home? Bethsaida and Capernaum. What is his job? What is his occupation? He's a fisherman, okay? Those of you who like to fish here, you know what a fisherman does, right? Is he educated? No. How about his life? He did evangelistic and missionary work among the Jews and going as far as Babylon. You can read it in 1 Peter 5, verse 13. Tradition, he went as far as Rome, where he was crucified, head downward. Simon died as a martyr on the cross. It's not enough on the cross like his teacher, Jesus, but upside down, okay? James, James, let me read here. Oh, before we go into the next life of the apostle or disciple, let's look how the life of Peter looks like. Okay, Miracles of Peter. You can read it in Acts 3:47. A lame man cured, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You remember what Jesus said? He will give what? Power to the disciples. If you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, the same power he was resurrected with is available to you. You remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5:5-10. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Verse 10, then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed the last. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So that's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You can read in Acts chapter 5. Another sick person was healed. Acts 5:15. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at last the shadows of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Very, very powerful power Jesus gave to his disciple. And then in Acts 9:34, he healed another person by the name of Annas. And then he is also responsible by the power of Jesus given to him to raise what? Dorcas. You can read it in Acts 9:40. Peter is not, or was not, a strong man. You know what a reed is? Anybody know what a reed is? What happened if a wind come? Go here and there, where you come. So he is not a stable person, initially. And later he became what? A rock, strong, stable. Imagine that, from reed to rock. You can find it in Matthew 14:28. He has a native impulsiveness. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. You remember this story, you know, on the water, you know? Peter had such brave intention, okay? But you know the story. Matthew 17:4. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In John 21:7, therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Okay? These are some of the characteristics of Peter. Tender-hearted and affectionate. But he could be also tender-hearted and affectionate. Matthew 26:75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. He's very human also. He feels also compassionate, tender-hearted. Another text says, John 13:9. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. A lot of requirements. A lot. Don't wash my feet only, my head, you know. Very much requirement. And then you hear the story of Peter and Jesus. Says in John 21:15-17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. First time. Second time, Jesus asked him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Peter said to him, yes, Lord, I know. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. And for the third time, Jesus posed this question to Simon. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved. He was sad because he asked him that question for the third time. Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. The same question you will be asked by Jesus if you decide to become a disciple. Go and teach the nation and make them what? A disciple. Very hard to do. Very hard to do, brothers and sisters, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have to answer yourself. But Peter also was full of strange contradiction, at times presumptions. In Matthew 16:22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. And later we will see Peter put out his sword and cut the what? The ear. When the people like to capture Jesus, he cut the what? The ear of the servant of the, I forgot the name, of the high person there in Jerusalem at that time, okay? At times, he was very timid and cowardly. Matthew 26:69-72. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, I don't know the man. Dear brothers and sisters, you may be facing a similar situation in the very near future. For example, this is an example. I was walking there maybe near the farmer's market, and somebody will tell me, are not you John Siergar? I hear you preaching in Pura Seventh-day Adventist Church. Huh? Are not you the person? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Huh? I'm a scientist. I don't know about this God and, we only want to have facts. And how do you know I was that person? If you Google on the computer, you find six names, John Siergar in California. And I am not telling you which one I am, because it's none of your business. Huh? Will you deny your guru? Will you deny your teacher? Will you deny your Lord and Savior, as Peter did here? The question you have to answer yourself. When the time comes, you have to be what? Stand and firm. Oh, all right. So that's some of the characteristic of Simon Peter. I will tell you other characteristics of the other disciples. James the elder. He is the son of Zebedee and Salome, and his brother was Andrew. They're both called what? The son of thunder. Okay. He preached in Jerusalem and Judea, and he was beheaded by Herod. You can read it in Acts 12:1-2. John, the beloved disciple. By the way, the Simon, he wrote two books in the Bible, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. James didn't write any any books in the Bible. John, he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. Okay. Labored among the church in Asia Minor, according to the tradition, especially in Ephesus, banished to Patmos, afterward freed and died a natural death. John is the only disciple who do not die a martyr, but he suffered. I don't know if he suffered physically, but he was thrown in what? In a pan with hot oil, but nothing happened to him. God helped him from his suffering. So he's the only one, all right? Andrew, brother of Peter, he was initially a disciple of John the Baptist, but when he heard about Jesus, John the Baptist say, the Lamb of God, which will what? Save this world, you know. He immediately called his brother Simon Peter, and both become disciple of Christ. Andrew, the brother of Peter, okay, originally a disciple of John the Baptist, preached in Scythia, Greece, and Asia Minor, crucified on a St. Andrew's cross. How does a St. Andrew's cross look like? Instead of like this, okay, it's like this, like an X, okay? So his two hands like this and feet, and they will hit him, you know, till he died. Philip, not much mention of him about, these are the quiet disciples, quiet workers. They work quietly, not much written about them, but they are true disciples of Jesus Christ. What happened with him? Tradition, he preached in Phrygia and died a martyr at Hierapolis. Hierapolis is a city 10 miles from Laodicea in Turkey today. Bartholomew, his nickname was Nathanael, and he's from Cana of Galilee. He was a missionary in Armenia and was flayed to death, okay? Thomas, his other name was Didymus. Tradition, he labored in Parthia, Persia, and India, suffering from martyrdom near Madras in India. If you go to India or ask Indian Christians, they kind of worship Thomas. They call it Saint Thomas. Okay. Those are the quiet workers: Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew. Oh, Matthew. Who's Matthew? Who wrote the book of Matthew? He's a tax collector, okay? It's different than today's tax collector. Today's tax collector, not many people know him. As a matter of fact, a tax collector now is chosen by vote, right? So he just checked, you know, who do not pay their taxes and come to their house and warn them, you know, you better pay taxes. But not before, you know? Matthew, a tax collector, was hated by the Jews because the government said, at that time, the government of Rome said to tax collector, okay, you can give me so much, whatever you collect, it's not my business, okay? That's why they increased the taxes themselves because the difference they were put in their pocket. And then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, the little known disciples. Okay, James He preached in Palestine and Egypt and was crucified in Egypt. Okay. James, the less or younger, he's from Galilee. He wrote the Epistle of James, and yeah, he died in Egypt. Jude, Thaddeus, he preached in Assyria and Persia and died a martyr in Persia. Simon, the Zealot, the Canaanite, okay, he was crucified also, but it mentioned where, you know. And Judas Iscariot, okay, the traitor, he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and afterward hanged himself. You can read it in Matthew 26, 14, 16 and Matthew 27, 3, 5. Those are the characteristics, some of the characteristics of the 12 disciples. When Judas was no longer a disciple or apostle, he was replaced by Matthias, and he also died a martyrdom in Ethiopia. Okay. And who is the other apostle who did not belong to the 12? That is what? Saul, Paul. Okay. He was also, he considered himself apostle of Jesus Christ. And what happened with him? He was beheaded by Nero in Rome. Okay, here are some of these characteristics of the disciples. If we read Matthew 1:21, it says here, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In the Greek language, Jesus means Yahweh saves, or God saves. But we ask, who are the people? What kind of people can Yahweh save to the one born of Mary? The answer flashes through from the genealogy. Jesus can save people like Tamar, like Rahab, like Bathsheba, like David. He can save Gentiles, prostitutes, adulterers, deceivers, and murderers. He can save anyone. God is not a respecter of what? Of person. Don't think I'm Jewish. I will be chosen people. I'm sure I will be in what? In God's kingdom. God made a covenant with Abraham, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. But they broke the covenant. And in Galatians 3:29 said, if you are Christ, if you are a disciple of Christ, you are part of the what? Abraham covenant. What is the covenant? Jesus, God said, if you obey me, you will be a what? A special treasure to me. If you will obey me and walk with me, it will be what? It will be well. It will be aloha with you. You know, speaking in Hawaiian language, it will be aloha with you. What's the meaning? You know all what aloha means, right? Happy, joyful, prosperous, etc., etc. All good things, you know, if you believe it. So, brothers and sisters, disciples have obligation, but they have also what? Reward. And I mentioned, why did Jesus mention the name in the genealogy of Jesus? Why Matthew mentioned the names of five women? Here again, I mentioned to you, know, Jesus is the one who upgrade the position of women in this world. So women, be a disciple of Jesus Christ. No question. All right? Tamar, who is Tamar? You know who's Tamar? One of the what? Daughter and son of Judah. All right? You know what happened to him? With her. All right? Rahab, she's a prostitute. Okay? Ruth, she's not a Jew. She's a Moabite. Okay? Bathsheba, what is she? You know? And David, you know? He's a murderer. He's an adulterer. Right? But God said, he is a man after my own heart. Why? Because confess his sin and he repents. That's the important thing. Confess and repent. Turn away from your sins. Okay? Then you become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. So, the fifth woman mentioned in the genealogy, who's that? Mary. Mary, the mother of what? Of Jesus. You know, she is so important that some Christians respect her and revere her and made her at the same level of what? Of Jesus, of God, you know, which is wrong. Okay. Mary is not in heaven right now. She's still here in the grave, right? So these women, when they left, they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Jesus is risen. They are so happy. They are full of joy to mention the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We also, as disciples of Jesus Christ, that's one of our duties, to share the gospel with joy. Okay? The other day I was in, Kiao Market, and I saw some old men exercising there. Yeah. Exercising there in front of the public. Said, after he finished, I asked him, you know, very good, very good. Keep exercising. How old are you? He said, 80. Very good, continue. Be healthy, yeah? I'm 81, I said. Oh, you're older than me. I said, do you know Jesus? Yeah, you know. Do you love him? I don't know. I said, Jesus loves you. Okay. Do you know that he's coming soon? I don't care. I said, you know. But I said, you know, remember, he loves you, he's coming soon. Be ready. Okay. Well, you know what he said? Please pray for me. Praise the Lord. Right? We have to be what? True disciples. Before we teach people, you have to what? You have to be a disciple yourself. There are a lot of things we can learn about Jesus, especially in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew is specially written for the Jewish people, so that the people in those days, in the time of Jesus, recognize the Messiah, which is written in the Old Testament. Don't think that the people, the Jewish people of old, did not know the Messiah. You read Isaiah 53, and you read other messages from other authors of the Old Testament. Okay? But they forgot when Jesus came, when the first Messiah came, they what? They rejected him. That's why the covenant of Abraham, the everlasting covenant, was broken and the opportunity was given to Gentiles. We mentioned the promise. We mentioned the requirement of the covenant, everlasting covenant. What is the sign? The Sabbath. The Sabbath is the sign of the covenant. What is the sign mean? You remember when the people of Israel left Egypt, the Exodus, before they start the journey leaving Egypt, God's command, God's instruction was to put a blood on the doorpost. If you don't have that blood on the doorpost, then you will what? Your firstborn will die. Okay? So the blood of the doorpost is just a sign. It doesn't save you. Okay? It is a sign that you are willing to obey God. If you don't follow God, what will happen? The angel who visits that house will kill the one, the firstborn. So it is a sign. The same thing as a Sabbath. The Sabbath is a sign. Sabbath cannot save you, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. The Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, coming here to church every Sabbath will not save you. But the Sabbath is a sign that you are willing to obey God and to rely on Him. Other teachings of Jesus you will find in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, verse 3 to 12. Okay, Matthew 5, verse 3 to 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecute the prophets who were before you. The eight characteristics as to form the moral profile of every follower of Jesus, the moral profile of each disciple of Jesus Christ. They are the principle of his kingdom, essential characteristic of its citizen. It is the trademark of the disciple of Jesus Christ. Matthew mentioned other things about Jesus. The description of Jesus' work is so central to Matthew's understanding that he repeats it in Matthew 9:35. Besides, in Matthew 4:23, Matthew repeats that, and it says here, a well-balanced kingdom ministry consists of all three activities. What are those three activities? Preaching, teaching, and healing. The scripture says that Jesus did more what? Healing than teaching, preaching. Healing is a preview, is something footwork for Jesus to preach and to teach. Okay. So the disciple of Christ must follow his footstep also. You must be able to preach, to teach, and to heal. Not because you are a medical doctor. We are the disciple of what? Jesus Christ, the greatest physician. Okay. Is that possible? If you don't believe it, sure it's not possible. You know, you have to what? You have to accept it by faith. You have to believe it. And your faith must be expressed in your what? A work. Because faith without work is what? It's death. Okay? The question about the sign of the covenant, the Sabbath. People may ask questions. Will there be a Sabbath worship in heaven. Yes, the text say that keeping the Sabbath will be what? In eternity, because the Ark of the Covenant is in heaven. In the text, I forgot what it says, from Sabbath to Sabbath, from new moon to new moon, okay, we will celebrate the Sabbath. We will worship with Jesus personally, okay? So we are looking forward, you know, to be in heaven keeping the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath will not save you, brothers and sisters. Keeping the Sabbath is a sign that you are willing to obey Him. Now, are you willing to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to go through the experience of the 12 disciples? Are you willing to die for Jesus Christ? That's the question. Okay, you don't have to die. But there's possibility, brothers and sisters. If God thinks that you can stand the suffering and to die, the reward is great. Revelation 3:20. Let's read Revelation 3:20. This is the message to the Laodicean church. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne. And I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus promised a great reward to those disciples who are willing to follow him and overcome. To sit down with my Father on his throne. That's the greatest reward Jesus promised to the seven churches. I've ever mentioned here in my other sermon about the seven churches. To the first church, Ephesus, he promised one reward. To the second, Smyrna, two reward. Third one, three reward. Fourth church, four reward. Fifth church, five reward. Six, he promised six reward. To the last church, the seventh church, did he promise seven rewards? No, only one reward. And that is, he said, if you overcome as a disciple of Jesus Christ, he will allow you, he will invite you to sit next with him, next to the throne of God. If you sit next to the President of the United States, you can do many things, right? If you sit next to Jesus on his throne. Our closing song will be number 289, The Savior is Waiting. Before we sing, let us stand. I will not make a call to you here, because your relationship to become a disciple of Jesus Christ is something personal. That's your personal relationship with Jesus. So before we have a closing prayer later, I give you opportunity to pray to God yourself, whether you like to commit yourself or recommit. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ now, all right, then you can recommit your life to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. If not, if you want to make decision, you have to pray that the Lord will give you power from above to become one. Okay, let's sing 289. Jesus is standing at the front of the door of your heart. Excuse me, okay? Jesus is standing at the front of the door of your heart. The word stand in Greek is that Jesus is standing right now at the door, at the front door of your heart. And he keeps standing, brothers and sisters. He keeps standing. He's waiting for you to open the door of your heart. Okay, let's sing. Come in, as you're
to give you a path. Here is your answer today. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arm open.